Welcome, everybody. On behalf of the striking members of Local 1129, we welcome you to our solidarity rally, and thank you very much for coming. As you know, we've been here for 155 days to achieve the same agreement that's been reached in 22 other mills in British Columbia, and we're just as solid today as we were on April 10th when we went out. We made a commitment at that time that we'd achieve that pattern, and that's what we intend to do. We also made a commitment to the employers of British Columbia that each and every CEP local would achieve that pattern. And that's what we also plan to do with the support of everybody here. Many of the people attending this rally, their faces have been down here many, many times. We want to thank you all for coming. But more importantly, there's a lot of people here that haven't been here before, and that shows us that our support is growing. There are people here from every part of British Columbia. We've got politicians, we're getting more media, and that shows that we're starting to get a little bit more attention. And Alberta. And Alberta. That girl. The reason that this is so important to us is that corporation over there is a large multinational corporation. It's owned by Domtar, it's owned by Cascades, and they have a lot deeper pockets than the 100 or so other picketers have here, so we need your support and we appreciate you coming. To Naranpak, the fact that this is the only recycling paper mill in Western Canada means nothing, but to us, it does. To Naranpak, the fact that we take approximately 10% of all the waste paper in Canada means nothing, but to us, it does. To Naranpak, the fact that 750,000 pounds of recycled paper isn't being used every day because this facility is shut down means nothing, but to us, it does. To Naranpak, the fact that GVRD incinerator over there isn't creating steam means nothing, but to us, it does. For everybody's information, that incinerator over there takes about 17% of the garbage from the lower mainland and burns it. And out of that process, the steam comes over to our plant and we make more recycled paper out of that. And that's something we think that everybody should know. And the other thing that goes on in this plant is, you remember your little juice boxes, your Tetra Pak juice boxes? Way back in 1997, there was a regulation that came out. It's called the Beverage Container Stewardship Program, where we all started to collect money for those little containers. And for the first 2 years that that program came out, those things went overseas because there was no place in North America to recycle them. Well, there is now, and it's right there. And those people in there got some money from the government, which is you and I, the taxpayer, to modify their equipment. Now, we've asked this question since we went on strike, and we don't have any answers, but we'd like to know, where is that going? There's $1 to $2 million worth of fiber sitting in that yard, and it's slowly rotting and becoming useless. Maybe Naranpak doesn't care, but we do. You know, you can't be quiet. You know, silence is not golden. Somebody has to start asking these questions, and we're asking them here now. We've created a poster that we'd like everybody to take a copy of if we have a number of them. It's and start circulating them through your communities. Take them back to the areas of British Columbia that you're going to, and let's start asking these questions of our politicians, let's start asking them of our councils, let's start asking them of all the different companies that are here, and let's start asking British Columbia if they know where all their recycled fiber is going and where it's been going for the last 5 months. We have a number of speakers here, but before we start any of them, this local would like to remember one of its members who passed away yesterday, Brother Jerry Dahl, and we would like to ask everybody to observe a minute of silence, please. Thank you, brothers and sisters and friends. Our first speaker doesn't need any introduction for a lot of the people here, because he's our national president. But he's made a special point to come out here today to talk to us at this rally. So please join me in giving a warm welcome to Brother Brian Payne.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you, brothers and sisters, and what a great turnout. It's great to see everyone here this afternoon at this very important rally in support of our members who have been on strike for 155 days, according to this sign, 155 days longer than they should have to be on strike to achieve the fair pattern that the rest of the industry has achieved across Western Canada. But let me start out by bringing greetings to our members and to everyone here from the CEP National Union, our executive board, and local unions across the country who identify with this dispute. It's good to see so many people out, so many brothers and sisters out, Brother Sinclair and others from the Federation, other unions that are here, and I'm certainly pleased that I could be here with you this afternoon, bring greetings, and give you words of support in this very important struggle. You know, the company that this struggle is with, the RAMPAC, is a company that our union has a trying relationship with across the country. They're a company that doesn't like the word pattern settlement. They're a company that we have to continually try and keep on side. They're a company that gives us a bad time, and they have an agenda. They have an agenda to try and get more and more health care costs paid by their employees and to challenge our union's pattern bargaining policies in the pulp and paper industry. Well, just like this struggle here in Burnaby, where our members have been standing firm for 5 months, our union is absolutely and completely unqualified, united with them, but opposed to anything that company's trying to do to introduce healthcare cost sharing and break the pattern. In this country, we have two significant pattern bargaining arrangements in the pulp and paper industry, one in the east, one in the west. We just concluded a major agreement with Abitibi Consolidated to set the pattern in Eastern Canada, and I chaired those negotiations, where Abitibi tried to introduce increased healthcare cost sharing. In fact, for the very first time, tried to get employees to pay a share of the healthcare costs. Our members responded with a 94% strike vote, and in negotiations, luckily without a dispute, Abitibi backed away from that demand, and our members, in the 6,000 members at Abitibi Consolidated, will not be paying any more of their health care costs than they were before the negotiations started, which is virtually nothing. And the rest of the industry will find out, as we take that pattern around, that if they want an agreement with CEP, they're going to have to live up to that pattern, they're going to have to respect that regime, and they're going to have to continue to pay those costs. That's the same issue here. It's not just about health care, it's about other issues, but it's about pattern bargaining. And this company should know by now, they should know before they started, and they'll know before it's over, that this union, not just Local 1129, but CEP, will fight until we achieve the same settlement here, as Brother Hart referred to, that's been achieved in all the other mills, on all the issues, on all of the issues, sisters and brothers. It's a message that this industry has heard several times from our union. It's a message that Domtar didn't believe over at Island Paper until they finally came to their senses and backed off. It's a message that this company will eventually get, and they'll back off. Our members that have been on strike here appreciate the support that all of the labor movement has been providing. Obviously, from their own national union, from locals within the region who have added significantly to their weekly support, and to all of you who have come out to support them on various occasions, and including again today. That support is critical in a struggle like this. It's the kind of support that they'll need until they successfully beat this company back into their office in Montreal and they get off their agenda. It's the support they'll continue to get from their union until we get that settlement. We will not be moved in this struggle, sisters and brothers, except to sign that same pattern agreement that everyone else in the industry in Western Canada has achieved. They'll achieve that. Their support from their own union, they know, is unqualified. I had the pleasure of meeting with the local president. I was on the picket line here in July when I came out here to try and capture a few days of vacation in the country, that part of the country that I still like to call home. Came down here and saw the brothers on the line. Some of the brothers were in my office in Ottawa when they did a tour of Eastern Canada operations to try and raise awareness. We have a major convention coming up in a few weeks, and I'd like to think this agreement will be settled before then, but all indications are that won't be the case. And I know when the brothers from 1129 are at that convention, they'll get a rousing welcome and a rousing recognition from our delegates there in respect to this struggle that's ongoing. It's a fight that we will win. It's a fight that we have to win, because as I said earlier, In the pulp and paper industry in Canada, we have a pattern bargaining regime. We take no prisoners on that regime when it comes to the employers we deal with. They understand that. Most of them understand it. NorAmPac, for whatever reason, at this plant, doesn't understand it, and they're going to get that message. Unfortunately, it's taking months. It shouldn't have taken months on the picket line, but they'll win, and we will win in the end, and we'll get them to that pattern, sisters and brothers. There is no doubt in my mind, and we'll do it with the support not only of the CEP members who are unqualified in their support, but all of the rest of you in the labor movement who stand together with the members of Local 1129. So that's my message for today, sisters and brothers. Thank you for being here. It's so good to see everybody out. This is a fight we will win. We will prevail. This company will come around to where we want them. Take my word on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Payne. Our next speaker is very close to this riding. He's our newly elected MP for Burnaby, New Westminster, our NDP MP. That would be Peter Julian.
Thank you very much, brother. And I bring greetings from my Lower Mainland Caucus colleagues, Bill Sixay and Libby Davies, as well as our national leader, Jack Layton. We're all behind you. And I'm here to say today that the community as well is behind the workers of Local 1129. We're not going to forget about you, and the community supports what you're doing here. Healthcare is a particular important issue in this area. We've seen with the closure of St. Mary's Hospital how healthcare can be taken away. And if Domtar and Cascade think they can increase healthcare costs or change the pattern settlement, they're wrong. And we're going to be standing up and fighting to make sure that we can do everything we can to bring a resolution to this issue. Now, I've been out here a number of times now. I'm sorry to say after 5 months that there hasn't been a resolution. We were out here in the pre-election period in April, May, out here during the election in June on the picket line with Adam Gimbroni, who's the National NDP President. We're also here after the election in July and August. And I'm sorry that we're here in September, because Domtar and Cascade should be negotiating in good faith and going back to the bargaining table. They haven't. So we're going to need that additional push, and I'm very heartened to see that the numbers are growing for the rallies, and that shows important increased community support. My office will be opening on Wednesday in Burnaby on 6th Street, and we will do anything we can to assist the resolution in this. So brothers and sisters of Local 1129, we don't forget you, we support you, keep up the good fight, we're with you. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Peter. We appreciate those words. Our next speaker is very short on words. He doesn't speak an awful lot. We all know Brother Saunders from the Vancouver District Labour Council. He's been down to this picket line many, many times. His support here is unequivocal, as it is from the Vancouver District Labour Council. We appreciate that. Please join me in welcoming Bill Saunders.
I managed to get the short comment in, but I will be brief as well. Brothers and sisters, this dispute's now going into its 6th month. I guess a lot of you have been down here before. There's been quite a few events, and a lot of people showed up to bolster the picket line. And I want to talk a bit about strike support today, because I think that's an important aspect of this particular struggle. The workers in 1129 that are employed here at NorAmPac are in a difficult strike situation. It's not only the issues that we would normally expect to see on the bargaining table that they're facing, but it's also the scope and the shape of bargaining itself, which is one of those issues. And that means it's a difficult strike, okay? It's a tough struggle with these companies, and we can see that. It might be a long strike, and it's difficult. And it's the most difficult for the workers themselves. This is almost, it's 155 days, we're going into 6 months. And it could be a little bit longer than that. Certainly, we intend to have it go 1 day longer than the companies want it to go. That's our goal. We will be here 1 day longer. But in order to do that, to be realistic about that, we really have to bolster this strike and these strike support. Because morale's an issue here too. It's a long dispute. Not a lot is happening. So, you know, we've got to do the kinds of things that these workers that are on strike here and that are making the sacrifices in this dispute realize that this sacrifices that they're making are not for nothing, that they're for an important purpose, and that there's a lot of people that recognize that purpose and support them. And that's what it means to be out here today and to show up. These workers understand that they do have a lot of strike support. So on behalf of the Vancouver District Labour Council and our strike support committee, Kelly Quinn, who helped organize the rally, and Marie DeCare from the BC Fed, thanks a lot for doing this. We intend to kind of organize weekly rallies and the kinds of events that we hope you'll attend to demonstrate to these workers that we're going to do everything that's possible for them. And we're planning a major event, November the 6th, a strike support dance for 11:29. We hope that we don't have to actually do this event. We hope that negotiations open up tomorrow and it's settled the day after. But if it isn't, we hope that you'll support that event and make it a major event for 11:29. We'll raise one hell of a lot of money for them because they need money. And that's another thing. I may be on to you again for some more money to help support this dispute, and I hope you respond to that. So thanks very much for coming out. It's a great turnout. We really do appreciate it, and we hope we'll see you at the next event.
One more speaker. We save the best for last, or the worst, depending on which side of the table you're sitting upon. Please welcome Brother Jim Sinclair.
Listen, thanks very much. It's a pleasure to be here today and to be at this rally and to co-sponsor this with the Labour Council. First of all, I want to start by thanking the CEP local here, and particularly the workers in this plant, for standing up for all working people. As everybody has said, this dispute isn't just about a local issue. It's about whether trade unions have a right to set a pattern for an industry and whether employers have to follow it. And for years, as an employee here today, a worker said to me today, for years, this plant benefited from the collective strength of the pulp and paper industry and the workers in it, and this company and the companies before it signed that agreement. This time, they chose not to. And the result could have been two things. The union could agree we aren't going to sign the pattern, signed a different agreement, and went back to work. They decided the opposite. They decided that there were no second-class people in this industry. They decided everybody deserved to have a right to that agreement, and they're going to stand up and fight, and they're going to stay out as long as it takes to get that pattern agreement, and we're with you. I don't think anybody had any illusions. I remember the second day of the strike, and I said to somebody, so how long is it going to be? And they said, it's going to be a long one. You know, sometimes you just know that about strikes. You just know that about the company you work for. And what we have to guarantee and to say to each other today, that no matter how long it takes, this picket line will be here one day longer than the company will be there. And we'll be there fighting to make sure that happens. It's important to remember that one of the big issues in this strike is about health care. All over North America, workers are on picket lines fighting to prevent the transference of the cost of health care from the employers to workers. It's a huge cost. In this country, they are trying to gut benefits to workers. They're taking away pension plans, trying to make pension plans money purchase plans instead of defined benefits, trying to take away workers' rights, trying to water down benefits that cost a lot in their minds but are fundamental to working people. So we know that if they're successful here in watering down those benefits, then that will start another pattern, a pattern that none of us supports, a pattern that means we're racing to the bottom. And so today we're going to be here, tomorrow we're going to be here, and in the future we'll be here in the labor movement fighting for the right of workers to have decent jobs with decent benefits. It's no surprise in this province that it seems to be whether you work in a shipyard worker or whether you're a healthcare worker or a forest worker, it seems to be a crime to have a decent paycheck these days. If somehow there's something wrong with the economy. Well, let me tell you, in the next few months, it's going to be a big debate in this province about where we're going, and we're going to have to stand up in the labor movement and say with one clear voice, we're not apologizing for one second about having a decent paycheck or benefits or being able to raise our families. And if the other people have it wrong, shitty wages and low wages are what's going to kill the economy in this province, and it's what's going to send us all backwards, and we're not going there, sisters and brothers. Somebody said we'll be here one day more, that this company wants to stay out there, we'll be there one day more. We'll be here long after Gordon Campbell's gone and he's only a footnote in history, because we're the ones that are going to be here, folks. And let me tell you, it's that kind of attack that we're fighting right across the province. And again, to 1129, hang in there, folks. We're with you, and you're going to win. Thanks very much.
Thank you, brother. That's the end of the speeches part. Once again, the local thanks you so much for coming down. Your support is greatly appreciated. And remember, we will hang in one day longer.